This week on a very special episode, we take a look at the decade that brought you Beanie Babies and Y2K scares, but also some of the best kaiju films in cinema history. Join us as we sign off on season 5 and take a look to the future of this podcast as well as its storied past. This is Kaiju vs. History, the 1990s wrap-up special.
Welcome back to Kaiju versus History. This is your giant Lisa Frank fan, Patrick, and joining me is a Furby dressed up like an adult, Miles. Hey, Miles.
You know, Patrick, you know one of my favorite bands of all time blew up in the 90s. You could have given me that.
Sorry, I was just going
we were literally just talking about them off air.
Generic 90s stuff.
Whenever I think of a Furby, I just remember a news report of, like, in response to the Christmas time fervor of people selling Furbies. And this is even like pre like eBay boom, but eBay was still part of it, of like people paying thousands of dollars to get their hand on a Furby. A town had gotten together and raised $900 to buy one off of somebody online, and then placed it in the seat in the middle of the street and ran it over the steamroller.
That's pretty funny.
That's like my trigger memory when I think of the Furby is that.
They brought them back a couple of years ago. There's all kinds of like weird 30-year-old nostalgia happening. So like if it happened in 1994, it's like it's coming back in style this year, you know.
Well, and it's funny because there is kind of a kaiju connection, because in the DC CW show Legends of Tomorrow, there is a kaiju-sized Furby that frequently pops up.
yes, I remember.
And fights demons. It's wonderful.
Alrighty. Yeah, Miles. This is the end of season 5 of the podcast. And, you know, just our little end cap discussion of the entire decade of films. Once again, we're looking at each decade as kind of a season of the show, which for the most part works out pretty well. It is kind of funny that the 1980s was so few films that count as kaiju. It is the decade that has the least amount of kaiju, you know, since the 1950s. But this season, the 1990s had a whole bunch, whole lot. One for the history books as well.
So when we were starting this show, like before we did any proper research, I mean, I know we made episode guides and stuff, but did you, looking back, think that the 90s would be the decade? Because I feel like this decade has been pretty good to us.
Yeah, you know, I kind of expected the 1960s to also be kind of a powerhouse, because that is, I think, the, you know, where we had the boom in kaiju films, not just in Japan, but all across the world, except the U.S. for some reason. But I always knew that the Heisei era had some very special properties in it. But once again, the U.S. films that we got are not my favorite for kaiju films. It's going to take a while for the U.S. to start making some pretty great kaiju movies. But I always knew Heisei, Godzilla, and Gamera were going to really carry all of the 1990s. And the reason that we're doing the podcast we're doing and watching these in chronological order is to get kind of a feel contextually of their release order and like how the medium grew and influenced one another. And it's very interesting to do that, because obviously I've watched the Heisei, Gamera, and Godzilla movies before, but I guess not in really chronological order with one another. I've watched Gamera at one point and then move on into Godzilla or vice versa.
Well, I mean, that's kind of me too, but also like looking on it as, you know, comparing it to other kaiju films, like we're going through every single movie. So we're putting ourselves in a different headspace when we're watching some of these movies than when we did when we were kids, or even when we rediscovered them as adults. And I mean, then there's some movies that honestly the 90s for me, I mean, I feel good that the movies that I bullied you into putting on there were movies that still held up for me, especially, you know, hashtag justice for Tremors.
Well, Tremors got the best score, I think, of any of the American movies. I mean, not that that's
because it actually has a score, not this not this stock like wah 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 wah.
No, I'm talking about from us, like the best kind of review.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the musical score.
Kaiju films. Well, the other ones we had on here was Relic and Deep Rising, Classic. Godzilla, and then the Core and Craw, which we don't need to talk about.
No, I mean, I certainly liked Craw more than Zarkor, but I mean, I liked the Relic. I love Deep Rising. I'm not going to apologize for my Deep Rising love.
please apologize, Miles.
No, I actually, one of the horror podcasters I was listening to recently brought that movie up because she's a big aquatic horror fan and was championing the new Blu-ray for Deep Rising because she was showing it to her kids.
Yeah, but there's movies like those. I had seen all those films growing up, but I guess didn't really ever look at them as kaiju films. So it's interesting to try to put them in the same headspace, even though they're all kind of kaiju like. I mean, excluding the 1998 Godzilla.
Right. I mean, that's the thing is the Americans don't really enter the kaiju scene proper until the 2000s. And even then, it still takes a while for them to really get into it. And which we're now seeing the results of those seeds from 20 years ago. But I mean, even the movies that we get, and I know we're going to talk about some tonight, were more of the giant animal kind of movies, When Nature Attacks, supersized edition kind of films.
Yeah, there were in the 80s,
much like the 50s, you know?
Oh, yeah. This season, though, of the podcast is really one of the reasons that made me want to do this is I wanted an excuse to go back and watch some of these great movies in the 90s. Honestly, if the podcast ended here, I think I would be still happy. At least we got through season 5. But yeah, seasons 6, 7, and 8 are going to be huge as well. The 1990s, I think this Heisei era has 2 of my top 5 favorite kaiju movies of all time, at the very least, in it. So I guess my first question tonight to start things off was it worth getting through the 1950s and 1970s to get to this decade, Miles? Was it worth it for some of those
lower
scoring seasons?
I'm a horror fan through and through. And as a seasoned horror fan, you know you have to watch a lot of stuff that you are not going to enjoy to find those gems. The reason a lot of those kind of film fans can recite all these deep cuts is because they watched 100 trash movies to find 5 movies that they wanted to recommend to people. And really, this subgenre is not really that different, because if you take out a lot of the big guns, it's a much, much different scene. Mm-hmm. And like, I would be very curious to do a draft that did not involve any Toho monster or Gamera. And think of what would pop on that list. Also, no Kong, but Kong's not a kaiju.
But yeah, I was about to say, if you took out those big 3 kaiju, it's about half of all kaiju movies.
Well, and it's certainly half the ones that people, when they talk about enjoying kaiju films, those are the ones they gravitate. And when we started this show, like, I knew that I had the right partner to suffer through some of these with me. But at the same time, I think from a historical aspect, like, even though I've watched some films that I will never watch again and I honestly regret having to sit through, I could not be happier, because one, you know, you can tell people I've seen every kaiju film ever made, and that's fun. Mm-hmm. But not only that, I think it's interesting to look at some of these movies, especially in the context of their time, and even that's why I wanted to watch some of the American films that we did, because Americans, I think, just relate to understanding what was so great about kaiju movies. Like, they understood that Godzilla was a big thing. And there was, I cannot stress enough, we talked about this maybe a little bit in the episode, there was so much hype around the 98 Godzilla movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there was a fervor for it. And I think people forget about that. So I think that
what could have been an empire just brought low before he even got off the ground, because the director just didn't even like Godzilla. Wasn't and, a fan.
You know what's, I like a lot of Roland Emmerich's films. That's the funny thing. So I was like, it bums me out that he made that movie, despite the fact that I do enjoy it as an American monster movie. And I wish we got more stuff like that. But mm-hmm. I just don't think that in the West, outside of your niche fans, the studios had caught on to what you could do with this sort of thing, and which is too bad. But I don't regret going through a lot of the trash to get some of the good stuff. I've seen some of my favorite movies of all time doing this show. Now, given many of them I had seen before, but like rewatching them in a fresh context and, you know, having a reason to go back to some of these that aren't just the big G films, it has been an absolute joy. And mm-hmm. like, I get to like watch monster movies and talk about it with one of my best friends every week. That's pretty sweet to me. So,
and this season, I mean, there's so many that I was just super excited when we sat down to get to talk about our mutual love for a lot of these. For this season, we gave over half, I think, of the things that we watched a podcast final score of 8 or higher, which falls in the excellent kind of category for our kaiju films. It's what you will see as our starred reviews on our Letterboxd if you go check that out. And those are the ones that, I don't know, another way to describe them, I guess, would be like essential watching. You know, if you're looking for the best kaiju movies to watch, it's mostly, I mean, it's every single Heisei Godzilla and Gamera flick and a couple others. There's a couple others on that list as well. Before we get into talking about our rankings and what happened in Heisei for season 5, like every season, we wanted to take some time and talk about some other kaiju-like productions, you know, to wrap things up, talk about the projects we did not get to as part of kaiju history. It's fairly light for the 1990s, but there are some other genres and movements that I thought we would talk about. The biggest thing missing from our list, a lot of people do kind of add it into their kaiju opus, is, well, there's a big Steven Spielberg-sized hole in our schedule that obviously had a lot of influence on kaiju movies. A lot of directors super inspired by this movie, but 1993's Jurassic Park. Have you heard of this movie, Miles? Jurassic Park?
Legitimately talked about it like last week.
It's one of the biggest blockbusters of all time.
You know, I get surprised, honestly, when people bring this one up to us, because, mm-hmm. you know, we say at the beginning of the show, like, you know, no, we specify the strange beast aspect of it. And I understand that they are genetically modified, but in the yeah. first Jurassic Park movie, they are meant to just be dinosaurs. And yeah, and so that's where I kind of, that's the line I draw. I certainly don't begrudge anyone. And listen, this is one of the most important movies in my life, because this, I saw this movie 5 times in theaters when it came out. Mm-hmm. And like, as a kid, my mom would just drop me off at the movies during that summer. I think it was a summer.
Yeah.
and buy me a ticket to Jurassic Park so she could go grocery shopping or whatever without me, you know, running around. And I mean, enthralled by this movie, because I think it's the first moment in my life, despite having seen plenty of great movies before that year, the magic of movies really came alive for me with this film. And like seeing what felt like real dinosaurs on screen, like, was such an incredible experience. And it's very hard to articulate to people who didn't experience that. Like, our friend Drew, like, watched Jurassic Park for the first time like a year ago.
What?
Like a psychopath.
What the heck? Yeah, I watched just so much in theater that I was eventually barred, I think, by my parents from seeing it anymore. But I do remember getting it as a birthday present the following year on VHS and just kind of wearing out that movie. Yeah, as you mentioned, they are technically not dinosaurs in this movie. They are like a DNA hybrid. Right. Of like frogs and things, which is interesting. They don't really get into a lot of the genetic modifying stuff until Jurassic World. But
just read the Crichton book; they get plenty of it doing that.
Yeah, well, it's not kaiju. It is very much a dinosaur film, and it's its own genre that exploded. I mean, there was dinosaur like Lost World movies in the 70s and stuff. There was a ton of dinosaur flicks in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
but Jurassic Park exploded dinosaurs in the 90s, and we have to draw the line not to add this in, because they're, if we added just dinosaur movies in, even if they're like made up dinosaurs.
Oh, I'd be making you watch Carnosaur, King of the T-Rex. Like,
there's too many. But yeah, like I said, they tap into some more kaiju action in the Lost World movies, but I don't like those movies very much.
No, and I mean, I don't begrudge anyone for putting this in their you know, giant creature movies. If you do, more power to you, that's fine. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't fit our personal criteria, that's all. Yeah. But this is one of my favorite movies of all time. So like, there's no dissing on Jurassic Park.
Yeah, sorry, I meant to say Jurassic World movies. The Lost World, the sequel to Jurassic Park, actually had some, you know, Steven Spielberg took some of his inspiration from Godzilla, from King Kong movies, because he had a sequence where the T-Rex is rampaging down
San Francisco.
It's San Bernardino,
San Diego. It's one of them.
Eats a dog, which is really horrific in that movie. But I think there are literally like Japanese businessmen that like run away from the T-Rex. It's like, oh, come on.
It's very much one of those things. Silly. That's a whole other conversation, because I don't want to discuss my Jurassic Park.
It's a whole nother podcast, Miles. It's dinosaur cinema versus history, or Cinemasaurus Rex or something. We'll do that after this one's all done, and we'll find our hidden love for
Dino DNA.
Hundreds of dinosaur movies there are out there, and how all of them get dinosaurs wrong. We'll become paleontologists.
I don't know if I need to enter that world, because I feel like we might need like actual degrees.
Yeah, we gotta go back to college first, then we'll come back.
Why'd you go back to college? To do a podcast.
There's also two projects in the 90s we didn't add to this list, mostly because sometimes they're kind of hard to come by up until this last year. But the first one was 1992's Godzilla Land. It's a short video series of what started as just promotional shorts for Godzilla versus Mothra, and it turned into an OVA, and it's the cute little chibi Godzilla, which is very popular. Mm-hmm. But they were kind of hard to track down when we first started this podcast off. I think there's more of them put online now, but it's one that's like not super germane to the Godzilla character and mythos, but I think if they re-release it, it'd be fun watch at some point.
Oh, absolutely.
The other one is Godzilla Island, which is much more accessible. It came out in 1997, and it is a series of live-action kaiju shorts set in the far future, where Godzilla and all these other monsters live on a Godzilla Island. The episodes, Miles, have you watched any of Godzilla Island?
I feel like I've seen one or two on YouTube, I think, at one point, but yes. I really haven't watched. They're the short ones, right?
Toho just uploaded, I don't think all of them, but I think the majority of them, there's like 300 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
They're 3 minutes long, but like a minute and 20 seconds is like the intro. So they're like a minute and a half. And they're annoyingly short, but it's kind of funny. They use that to their advantage. And yeah, up until last year, they're extremely hard to come by, but now, yeah, it's like 12 hours of content, and instead of Funimation, they use the toys, Godzilla toys,
right,
as the monster actors.
And it's kind of like Robot Chicken before Robot Chicken.
It basically made an entire subgenre of people who do that now. Miles, the next one on our list is 1995's very popular movie, The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie. Have you heard of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
The reason I did not bully you into putting this one on there, because I know we've had a big Sentai Tokusatsu talk, is because the main bad guy is just Ivan Ooze, and then he becomes big. If there had been other creatures like in the show, I would have pushed for it. But really, the giant monster aspect takes kind of a backseat in this film, which is honestly, like, in retrospect, disappointing. Like, I love this movie as a kid. I have the soundtrack. We talked about the soundtrack on the Discord the other day. I'm also a massive, 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 very large Power Rangers fan. Yeah. So yeah, I love this movie, but in this particular movie, I do feel it's much more kaiju adjacent, or even a cousin, because like there isn't a lot of kaiju action. And when like you get Ivan Ooze, and I think you might get something else. It's been a while since I've watched that particular film. It's just not enough to warrant us covering it, even though we have certainly watched movies with 3 second appearances of monsters. So I could have made a case for it.
You know, thinking of Super Infra Man.
was it Jason the Argonauts that had like a 3 second sequence with a giant monster, and that was it?
Well, yeah, the one's definitely. You didn't watch Jason the Argonauts.
Or was it Clash of the Titans?
Yeah, Clash of the Titans. But that's about killing a Titan at the very least. This one is definitely very related more so to Henshin or mecha shows. The same way we've kind of skipped over Ultraman. There was a couple of theatrically released Ultraman films in the 90s as well.
Honestly, the only reason we haven't done the Ultraman stuff is for our sanity's sake, because Ultraman absolutely counts. There's just thousands of episodes and like 30 movies, and
they're becoming more and more accessible though, which is very nice through Shout Factory, through some other vendors putting
Mill Creek that's out. Put it out.
Yeah, so I wouldn't mind going back and watching some, having the spinoff Ultraman podcast, but it's so hard to try and do to go through those now when a whole bunch of them are not available. Another movie we skipped over is 1995's Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfold.
Didn't we talk about doing a whole
giant woman special
series? Aren't we doing that?
Maybe later. Yeah, this is an odd one out because it is just a whatchamacallit, a spoof of the remake of the Attack of the 50-Foot Woman.
Yeah, I think it was like a Skinemax kind of production. It is
full of nudity, yes. And they come out. There's a bunch of giantess movies that come out in the 2010s for whatever reason.
I think a director that I'm familiar with the horror work more has done a ton of them. Wernowski?
Yeah, there's a couple.
Yeah, that does not surprise me. I mean, this is the guy that brought us like, you know, Slumber Party Massacre 2 and stuff like that.
Yeah, this is produced by Roger Corman, so there is some connection.
Oh yeah, to that. I mean, they are thick as thieves.
he comes back and produces another one in 2012 called Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader, and there are Jim Wynorski and Jeffrey Leroy movies that come out in, there's like 4 giantess movies that come out in 2022. I don't understand why, but there's a whole bunch. So I think the plan is when we get towards season 8 and we're running out of kaiju movies, we'll take a look at these nudity filled parody flicks and things.
I misspoke. But he didn't do Slumber Party Massacre. He did Sorority House Massacre.
Oh two. Gosh, how could you get that?
I'm so embarrassed.
Another one that I do kind of think of in its own genre is 1997's Anaconda. It's one that I remember very vividly seeing in theater.
Oh, I do too.
I go to sleep at night and I rest easy knowing that John Voight got swallowed whole in that movie and just got swallowed up alive. Makes me warm and happy and fuzzy inside.
Yeah, I almost pushed for this one just because we did so many giant creatures in the 50s. Yeah, but the thing is, we're not given any reason for this Anaconda existing. So as far as we know, it's just snake.
That's the thing. And honestly, it's not like a preposterous size. It's just that this anaconda is really mean and trying to kill them all. You know,
I mean, it's much more larger than a regular anaconda. Anacondas are really huge.
Yeah, they can get massive.
It is a little kaiju sized in terms, right. and coupled with, I think, the one you're going to talk about next. Again, it's just a giant animal, and I did think about this movie and the next one. Just because I wanted to talk about, this is what the Americans are doing, but I'm happy going to bat for Tremors, The Relic, and Deep Rising, because I think they are closer to kaiju because they all kind of tell these weird monster stories.
Yeah, they are monsters, I think, in the truest sense, even if they're not kaiju sized, which isn't, it's not needed to be able to knock over a building. That is like kind of one of our,
yeah,
is it large enough to do that? But its origin story, especially for the Kathoga in the Relic and Deep Rising's crazy squid monster thing, they're very different. This movie and 1999's Lake Placid are just very large creatures, and they are, once again, like Jurassic Park, they're their own genre of monster.
Yeah, movie.
If we added them all to the list, it would very much dilute what it means to be a kaiju film.
No, I mean, if I wanted to talk about this movie, and I watched this one actually very recently because it's, one, it's a fun movie, but also the freaking queen of TV, Betty White, is hysterical in this movie.
I very much remember her from the trailer for this film where she's dragging the cow out.
I hope he eats all of them.
Come out, come and get it. This is part urban legend, part Jaws-like film, and it had such a great cast. I was looking back at it, and it's amazing. It spawned not only kind of, I really think this one is the one that made it so there's like 100 kind of knockoff films like this on the Sci-Fi channel.
Oh, there's even a Lake Placid versus Anaconda, I think.
Yeah, well, there are 5 direct sequels to this film. But like I said, the subgenre that this creates of giant creature features is pretty impressive. Once again, not really kaiju. Getting close.
we're getting close. And I think they're talking about doing a new Lake Placid, like an actual, like, with money Lake Placid movie. But that first one's a lot of fun. And I actually almost went to bat for putting on the second Anaconda movie, actually, because
I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's been a long, long time, but it's called The Hunt for the Blood Orchid. And the whole concept, I think, is that this sacred flower is also why they're so big.
Oh, so there's magic to it.
And I could be wrong. It has been like 20 years since I've watched this movie, but it came up in a conversation recently on another podcast, a horror podcast. Y'all listen to Fangoria's Colors of the Dark. It's great. But Rebecca McKendry was talking about how she prefers that movie because it gets more into the kind of weird aspect. And if there was a movie we're going to cover, it probably would have been the second one, which I think actually had a theatrical release. It made $76 million.
Well, currently not on our list, Lake Placid. There is another giant lake monster movie I think I do want to put on our list, and that is 2022's The Lake, which I think is
I think it's a Thai film. Also, the second Anaconda movie was written or directed by the director of my favorite Halloween sequel, so there's that.
So those are the movies that the vast majority of these are like U.S. things that just didn't make the cut, and like you said, it's because they're doing their own thing. Going their own direction and making their own subgenres, whereas they're not kind of taking from Godzilla. And you really can't blame that on 1998's TriStar, because that's happened at the end of the decade, you know?
Right.
If anything, I would agree that, I don't think it's a 10, but that movie messing up so bad, I think, did ignite fires under some American world directors to try and do something else, like, say, reinvent King Kong and actually do it a lot of service, or, you know, things that will happen in the 2000s that will make up for it.
I definitely think we're going to see the baby steps of the American kaiju boom in the next season with two specific films, one you named and one that will come up. And it's interesting because while it would be probably easy to like kind of shrug off the 2000s, looking ahead, I think it's low key, like the 80s, may not have a ton of content, but has some of the most important content for getting us to where we are now.
Well, we'll talk about it. But first, let's go on and talk about our ratings here in the 90s. We had, I thought, settled what were going to be our worst films of the 1990s, but indeed we had some changes last minute. Our 5 least favorite films of the 1990s are, I guess, kind of tied-ish for the bottom 3. Young Gary, Gargantua, and The Legend of Galgameth, all receiving 4 out of 10 from us, Miles.
Deservedly so.
I think they're about the same quality. Actually, I think Gargantua might have snuck away with too many points. Looking back at this, I think I'd rather watch these other two. But these are all three of these definitely better than our number two worst rated film.
Yes,
1990s.
100%.
The animated Mighty Kong. Not great.
I mean, just inconscionable. Like it's one of the worst animated features I've ever seen, and I have seen some Drek.
There are parts of the movie, it feels like they're animating it live for the audience.
It looks like you were in like class in the 1990s and the projector was airing the show on the chalkboard.
Yeah. And then, but our number one worst movie in the 1990s was, of course, Zarkor, The Invader.
Yeah, it's the only movie I can think of that I hate more or as much as Queen Kong. And I was wrestling because at first I was like, oh, was I too hard on Queen Kong? I'm like, no, I wasn't.
No,
Queen Kong still deserves that. I absolutely wasn't. Spot. But I those are two of the worst movies I feel like we've had on the show, and two of the worst movies that I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're the ones that, you know, if they lost the rights to showing those online and making DVDs, it's like, don't worry about it. You don't need to see. There's some.
Those are not the movies I am struggling to save by buying all the physical media.
So I think the worst thing about Zarkor is it came up immediately after two of, I think, the best kaiju movies ever made. 1995 had both Gamera Guardian of the Universe and Godzilla versus Destoroyah, two of my 10 out of 10 films. And then I just had such tonal whiplash because we watched Zarkor immediately after Destoroyah and went from 10 out of 10 to 2 out of 10. Real bad. Real bad. Mm. This decade, as good as we think it is, also adds three movies to our top 10 worst kaiju movies of all time list. Yeah, three movies, I believe. And that's Zarkor, Mighty Kong, and Gargantua.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I was surprised by that, honestly, but I think this season is just one of super extremes. It's like extremely good movies, extremely bad. Not that many sixes and sevens. I think that's like actually the rarer score in this season, where that like middle of the road, like good to very good, just didn't happen as often.
Yeah, I feel like I've tried to get some sevens in there, but so what have we got so far? Is now that we're at kind of like halftime, in a sense, or more than halftime of our show, like where are we sitting as far as entering the new millennium? What are our top 10 worst kaiju movies so far?
So a bunch of them are from just the 1950s, and we gave out a lot of fours in that time, and it's kind of difficult because I'm not like taking just total weight. Sometimes for some of the fours, like we're both the same wheelhouse and we're like, oh, this is a four or this is a three and a four. Sometimes I gave it a five and you gave it a three and it averaged out, but we have five fours on our worst list. Two of them from the 1950s, The Giant Claw and The Beginning of the End. And looking back on both of those movies, I kind of, I don't think they're top 10 worst of all time. Eventually, I think they're going to be bumped off.
And then the Beginning of the End is weird just because, like, I think that opening stuff is so good.
Yeah,
and then the rest of it is trash
in a lot of those movies. But yeah, it's like it's kind of a boring watch.
Yeah, no, like I don't regret the score I gave it, but I was like, oh man, the good stuff in that movie is better than anything from anything that happens afterwards on that list.
The other ones, 1980s Attack of the Super Monsters is another four, as well as 1970s Jumborg Eason Giant. Both of those just have really rough, editing from other languages or from other.
Well, isn't Jumborg Eason Giant like a compilation film?
It's kind of, well, it's like cut up. It uses some video and things from.
Yeah.
From the television show, but so did Attack of the Super Monsters. Our top five worst films so far includes Mighty Kong, and then right before it, another ape movie, Ape.P.E.
Yeah,
that was a real bad one.
Yeah, it was.
And then a third ape movie, The Mighty Gorga, which, oh boy, is real bad.
Yeah, it deserves a spot.
And then Zarkor takes the number two spot. And of course, Queen Kong is our 0/1 score. I think something's still going to beat it eventually, but
I don't know. Because here's the thing is like Asylum movies are bad, but like there is kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge in watching some of those movies.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be one of those. I think it's going to be there's some absolute dreck that comes up.
I mean, it's possible. I also want to point out
in someone's backyard,
the bottom of the bottom five, four of them are ape movies.
I mean,
proving me right. Down with the apes.
Yeah, and I don't think those are going to be kicked off. Those are all 3s, 2s, and 1s. But I definitely think
we would have to watch some. We would have to watch some hot garbage.
Trust me, we will. There's still so many movies. The 2010s has more kaiju films on the list than any other season.
Surprise me, especially, and I think we've not included a lot of them because they're not actually available. But like China has like a booming giant monster scene. There's some solid stuff on there, but there's also a lot of unfortunate stuff that you can watch on YouTube of like giant shark movies are like a huge thing there. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I think I tried to get a couple of them. I think there's one coming out called Ninja versus Shark.
Ooh, fun versus.
Which I mean, name wise, that sounds awesome.
So we talked about the worst movies. Let's talk about the best films in the 9. 2 9s. On this list, and that is Gamera 2 and Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2, both 2 sequels and both getting 9s. I think you might have given versus Mechagodzilla 10, and I might have given Gamera Attack of Legion a 10, and then the other person a 9. And then we have 3 movies that got a 10 out of 10. Either I don't think any of these were perfect 10 out of 10s, but a couple of them I think we both gave a 10 out of 10. Number 3 is Godzilla versus Destoroyah. Number 2, Gamera, Guardian of the Universe. And number 1 is Gamera, Revenge of Iris. So all 3 Gamera movies. Oh, sorry. I can't hear you.
It's me to myself.
That makes sense. I was like, oh no, is my internet going out?
So
I was just going to say, yeah. Well, all 3 Gamera films are on here and 2 very good Godzilla movies.
I'm pretty happy with Revenge of Iris being in number 1, honestly. Well, I guess we kind of are by just shuffling the 10s.
Kind of. I think I went by our weighted score, and I think.
Oh, that, and you went by the actual?
Yeah, just to get a look at what, you know, compared to what in these 10s and 9s. And I think.
Yeah, Revenge. So I think I mentioned this on the show. I hadn't seen Revenge of Iris before doing the show, and then I purposefully did not mm-hmm. watch it so that I could have a genuine reaction when we did get to it. And going into that movie, you know, it has this whole like, oh, this is one of the best kaiju films ever made. Like Revenge of Iris gets, at least in the last 10 years, gets talked about as the cream of the crop. And I mean, on one hand, yes, you do kind of have to see the other two so you can get some of the good character context with the
returning characters are great. Yeah.
Elias, which is so weird because there's a wrestler named Elias. But at the same time, regardless, like there is a reason that this one is considered one of the best ones. It's fantastic. Like, I don't care that I have to see 2 other movies. It's like, yeah, Return of the King is great. And I don't care that I have to watch 2 other great movies to get to it, you know?
Yeah, so I gave Revenge of Iris a perfect 10 out of 10, 3 that I've given out. You gave it a 9.6, so it just edged out our number 2, which was also Gamera, Guardian of the Universe, which I think we both gave a 9.6 to.
Yeah, I know I went pretty hard for versus Mechagodzilla 2. I remember really loving that.
Yes, I believe you were a 10. No, you were a 9.6, so a 10, and I was a 9.3. So we were very close.
My
there.
Same score for Revenge of Iris.
yeah. I was about to say it's Destroyer was another one that I went to bat for. That's a 10 out of 10 for me. You gave it a 9 out of 10. So it's like down there. I can definitely see because it looks pretty cheap when you go and look at the Gamera movies. See how some people might not enjoy it as much. I just love it as the end of that series.
But we're also talking about like some incredible movies. Like, I mean, we're parsing decimal points, and like all 5 of those movies are absolutely killer.
We had two other solid nines that didn't even make it on our top five, and that's Neon Genesis Evangelion, End of Evangelion, and Ultra Q the Movie, which was the largest surprise, I think, of the 1990s for me.
Loved it so much.
I finished it, and I wanted to immediately check it out again. It is such a hidden gem. It is so cool, and I love that it's like independent. You don't have to have watched the TV show. You don't have to have watched any other. You can just go in blind and get this cool X-Files alien kaiju-esque story that is just dripping with Japanese flavor. You know, it's got these great characters, this great setting, this great story. Love everything about that movie. Still a 9 out of 10, but.
One of the gifts that I got for Christmas was a region-free 4K player, which means I am going to be on the hunt for an international Blu-ray of that movie because, yeah, that movie is so much fun. You mentioned End of Evangelion. Did that got a 9? What did I give that?
I think a 9.
Because I remember being hypercritical, at least in my personal enjoyment of that movie.
End of Evangelion, I gave a 9.3 and you gave a 9. So got a 9.
Huh.
Yeah,
I guess my personal enjoyment was probably lower, but my technical and evocative were probably really high. Okay, that makes more sense because I was like, that movie is like a pain in the ass to watch.
You went 8, 9, 10, and I went 10, 9, 9 on that film. It's another one
End of Evangelion. Yes, that one. That one. Yes, 8. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. What was the other movie?
The one before
Death of Evangelion. What do they call it?
Death and Rebirth.
Death and Rebirth. Yeah, that movie's trash.
Yeah, that one did not make it on our top 10 list. So I was very happy with this season. Oh, we also got a ton of 8s. The other Godzilla movies got 8s. We got Tremors, got an 8, obviously, versus Mothra.
The most controversial thing in the entire
Ghidorah
history of the show.
But also
Tremors should be glowing in that top 5.
Well, maybe you should have gave it a 10 then, Miles. It probably would have.
I counted on you giving it a 9, to be honest, because you're always higher than me. So I was like, okay, so I'll cool off because I know I'm super enthusiastic. I've learned my lesson. I'll never do that again.
It's funny that movie, just that watch, I've watched it casually so many times, watching it like kind of trying to be critical. It did great on my nerves just a little bit, to where I was like,
insanity. It's so good.
Why is this on the kaiju list? You know, but it is such a fun movie.
It's so good. You got Reba McEntire. Everything about this movie is amazing.
What an icon. She just sung at the Super Bowl. Yeah,
the Super Bowl and killed it.
Absolutely killed it.
No,
30 seconds, just real quick, belted it out. Also, Rebirth of Mothra 1 and 3. I was surprised that they both rated as high as they did, but they both got 8s. I think they're
Rebirth of Mothra 3, another one that like I really really want to. I was actually a few minutes ago mixing up Gamera 3 and Rebirth of Mothra 3.
I got that. Yeah,
you did not correct me like a jerk.
Well, you didn't say anything super Mothra related, so I was like, hey, he's fine.
No. So I'm sorry. The problem with Rebirth of Mothra 3 is, yes, you have to know a little bit about the Elias because the character growth that takes place for them is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And the first two movies are fine. Like we've liked them, but I really, really liked Rebirth of Mothra 3. I think it had some of the most fun, like Mothra action. Mm-hmm. And you had some fun suit stuff. And yeah, all the Elias stuff was really great.
Not great enough to crack our top 5 of this decade, and
no,
also not great enough to crack the top 10 best kaiju movies of all time so far. So far in our podcast, we have 10 movies that have cracked into our top 10. It is, spoilers, all Gamera and Godzilla movies.
Shocker!
Did I share this list with you?
I'm looking at it right now.
See it in the notes. All Gamera and Godzilla movies. In fact, it's all 3 Heisei Gamera films and then 7 other Godzilla flicks.
This honestly looks like a screen drafts like Mega Drive.
I don't think these are all going to survive as we move into these next 3 seasons, the final 3 seasons of the podcast. But I think they are all going to be 10 out of 10s eventually.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is number 10, 9, 8, and 7 are all nines. Right. And they're three Godzilla. Oh, no. One is a Gamera film. Attack of Legion, I think, it's going to get knocked out by a 10 at some point, as well.
Did
as
we not Hedera. Give Gojira like straight tens?
We did. It's number three on our list.
Yeah. How's it three if it's got straight tens?
Oh, I did not give it a straight 10.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah. And Revenge of Iris didn't get a straight 10. The only perfect 10 we have so far is our number one, Godzilla versus Biollante, which I still don't feel bad about. It's still such a great movie. You know?
I'm sorry. Did you not give a straight 10 to Gojira?
No, I gave it a 9 for its technical.
Because, you are a monster.
Because they didn't have all the
You are a techniques. Monster. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
They did not have the techniques. Indeed. Indeed.
Sorry, go down the list.
Well, yeah, we have some other 10s on there from this decade. Versus Destroya got on here. Gamera, Guardian of the Universe is our number 4. And yeah, top 5 goes a Godzilla movie, a Gamera movie, Gojira 1954. Number 2 is Gamera, Revenge of Iris. Number 1 is Godzilla versus Biollante. Those are all 10 out of 10 movies for us.
Doesn't look right to me.
What doesn't look right?
Right. Gojira being number 3 just is weird to me.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's, I mean, honestly, it's not my favorite Godzilla movie of all time. So I understand why I didn't give it an absolute perfect score. But yeah, also, you didn't give Gamera Revenge of Iris a perfect score, but we were aligned on versus, we were aligned on versus Biollante. I think the stars will align eventually for us both.
Oh, I can think of at least 10. One movie that we've already done that
to something. Yeah, that's the thing. We're going to talk about movies in the future, but for right now, where we are until the year 2000, this is what our top 10 list looks like, which I think is pretty interesting.
I mean, it's a great list of movies. Like, I mean, if someone were like, hey, give me 10 kaiju films to watch. I mean, the thing is like when they know you're into this stuff, sometimes they're like, oh, but these are all Godzilla films. I'm like, yes. Like, look, there's a reason Godzilla and Gamera and Mothra are the names they are. It's because they have some of the best movies and they're the most recognizable stars. Yeah. Like sometimes that's it. Like sometimes your best things are the ones that are the big stars. They're big stars for a reason, you know? Like if there were other ones that were massive stars, and we've covered ones that have gotten nice collections, like the Daimajin films, mm-hmm. and those are great movies. We gave them great scores.
Eights and nines. The only, I was surprised, our top 10 best kaiju of all time list. Right now, there is only one film from the 1960s, and that's Mothra versus Godzilla. Mm. I think we got some others that were close to nines or softer nines, and they just got.
Yeah, didn't we give the original Mothra a 9?
Ooh, yes, but I think I gave Mothra versus Godzilla a 10, which is what boosted it up here. Right, so that does it for the 1990s. We've got all of our reviews, and Miles, taking a look down here at the recaps of season 1 through 4, you can see we're all in basically 6 territory thereabouts for the average scores. The highest season right now, the average score for all the movies put together is a 6.5, and that's the 1960s. So that's our highest scoring film decade for kaiju films. Our lowest I was interested to see is the 1980s, but there's less movies in there, so like the average is kind of weighted by some of those bad films, I think, a little bit higher. I'm just wondering where you think this decade, what's your prediction for this decade, where the 1990s lies?
I could see this cracking 7.
Well, spoiler warning, it does, but by how much?
I can't see it being super high because we had some crummy. I was 7.2.
So I think you know what? No, it is just 7 because I give it a 7.5. You gave it a 7.1. But because we average our scores together, it pulled it down a little bit more. But yeah, this is the first 7 season that we've ever had.
Well, how come you're giving decimal points to the other ones and not this one?
Well, it's 7.0, I think, if we're averaging it to a point, as opposed to if you took just our scores and averaged to them mm-hmm. together, it'd be a little bit of a different number. But I'm just like talking about at the end of each episode, our podcast.
Oh, totally. Okay.
Yeah, it was I was confused by these numbers as well. I was like, if you add these two together, that's not how it works.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
But yeah, that's
indicative of a great decade, though.
Yes, I honestly thought it was going to be a little higher. I forgot about some of the low lows.
We had some low lows, 9s and 10s.
So I was just looking through rosy colored glasses. But I always knew I thought this was probably going to beat out the best score. Now, is this going to remain the highest rated decade for kaiju films? I don't know.
I don't know because we have some great films to look forward to, but we also have a boom in digital technology, Drek. Which means you may have some of the best kaiju films of all time that decade, but you might also have 20 movies that were just like done on a computer and crapped out. So it's tough to say because I think we are still going to be looking forward to some of the best movies in kaiju cinema. I think volume wise, we are going to be in some interesting territory. So it's tough for me to say. I can't see it getting above a 7, though. That seems, I feel like that's going to stay the champion. I really do.
I think season 6 and 7 might give it a run for its money and definitely beat out maybe some of these other seasons, but I don't think we're going higher than a 7 on average, which is pretty darn high. That's, you know, on our scale, very good is I think where you get to with a 7. Oh, right. The other thing I want to talk about is like last season when we completed the Showa era Gamera series, this season we got to watch all the Heisei era Godzilla movies, completing the 7-film arc of Heisei reverses series Godzilla. 8 films if you include Godzilla 1985, which can be added to our list because we reviewed it separately, but it's typically not counted as a separate movie. But yeah, the average for the Heisei era Godzillas is an 8.7 across those 7 films, which I thought was pretty amazing. You know, nothing below an 8. So really pretty high.
I could see that.
My average was a 9.2 and yours was an 8.6. So like right there in the middle. It's a
little grumpy Gus sometimes. Look at me.
It's not too much of a difference, but
no, it's not. Comparison, and like, I am a big believer that 6 and 7s aren't bad scores. And I am a big believer in normalizing the 7. So I'm comfortable with that.
I was surprised our Showa era scoring of Godzilla was as high as it was. The Showa era had an average of an 8. So, you know, 0.7 behind that, almost a full point, but our scores were, you know, about 0.5 beneath it on those eras. So we are now done with 2 entire generations of Godzilla series, and we've already started in on Godzilla Millennium, which I was very stoked about. I think they're actually kind of going to get better from here. Maybe not all of them, but I don't know if they're going to beat out an 8.7, but I think it's going to be pretty close. Before we get on to looking to the future, any other final thoughts on the 1990s before we?
No, I mean, I've got to be honest. I guess because growing up as an American kid, like, and only having access to most of the prior, like the old Showa movies and the VHS copies at that, I really didn't expect the 90s to shine in the way it did. And as we started doing the show and I was looking at the movies that we were going to cover, I kept having this sneaking suspicion. Well, you know what? 90s might be low key the all-star season. And honestly, like, I mean, look, yeah, we watched several little Drek movies, but by and large, like most of what we watched was pretty great. I mean, the fact that we have a whole season that gets a 7, like usually these seasons are weighted down with a lot of trash. And like, honestly, like the fact that like we had some like hidden gems, like the Ultra Q movie being as good as it was, I could not have been happier about that. It's a great decade. And I don't think it's one that I'm going to like, if I had to like what's the term, deserted island. If I had to take a decade, this is certainly one that's in contention. We got a couple others that I'm, I don't know. I could pick that, but the 90s makes a very strong case for being the best decade in kaiju history, which is pretty wild to me. I did not expect that.
Oh yeah, no, I was kind of expecting it, but we had some big question marks about future seasons. See, the 1990s was also a hallmark for kaiju films, the Heisei era, as it was, even though technically the Heisei era continues until 2019.
Right.
the emperor who's like, I'm not dead yet.
For like, isn't the Reiwa era, movie. Like, don't they still even consider like Shin Godzilla being a Reiwa film, even though it's still technically Heisei?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Well, it's like Heisei ended for Godzilla with the Death of Roya, even though Toho continued making films kind of in this era, in this decade. But yeah, season six, we're going into the millennium films of Godzilla. You know, we've got a revolution in CGI kaiju films in the US. We get another Gamera film. I know you're excited about that in this coming season.
Oh,
it's in the early 2000s. Yeah. And yeah, all in all, while I'm slightly less excited about the 2000s than I was going into the 1990s, I'm also very excited about the 2000s because I also love the Millennium series. It is kind of neck and neck with Heisei for me. Having rewatched them in the last few years, I'd say I really enjoyed a lot of them almost as much as some of the, specifically the Godzilla Heisei movies. So I'm super excited about Millennium Godzilla. Is there anything that, looking forward on this list, you're most excited about rewatching, revisiting?
I mean, there is certainly a movie on this list that is in contention for one of my favorite kaiju films of all time. Mm. And I'm not going to say which one it is. It's a movie that I can promise you, because I've rewatched it even recently. It's one that I rewatch frequently. It will be all 10s across the board. I don't care what anyone says. There are several Godzilla movies I'm looking forward to rewatching because I think very highly of them, but I purposely haven't watched them in several years. There is one that I did watch, I think, for the More You Nerd a long time ago, but I haven't watched since and almost don't remember anything about it. And I'm really looking forward to rewatching that. And that's Big Man Japan.
Yeah. Yeah. That came out 2007. Excited about that.
Also, we got a Bong Joon-ho movie coming. Like,
yeah. So that's the one that I'm probably most excited about. I rewatch The Host every 3 or 4 years, it feels like. And I mean, besides being a great kaiju film, it fits the formula. It has this very interesting monster. It's got the military. It's got, you know, people running from it. It's also just a great film by itself. It is nearly a perfect film. I really love a lot of his other ones, but I think they just get a little too dark. This one has that darkness in it, but also has this amazing humor and color, and
it has the right element of family and hope as its theme.
Yeah.
And like it thematically feels like a Gamera movie in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, you know, those main characters, boy, howdy, really do feel like they're right out of a Showa era.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to getting, I mean, I'm a huge fan of that director. He's phenomenal. I watched this movie a couple years ago. If you want to get some of my thoughts on it, you can listen to a month that Drew and I did on the More You Nerd of non-Godzilla or giant monster movies. And we did actually some of the ones on this list. We did some Gamera stuff because he'd never seen Gamera before.
Oh,
so and but we had done this one or The Host. And yeah. I think that was the year that he had won the Oscar. And I don't think Drew had seen it or hadn't seen it since college. So he was excited to go back to it. And
I don't remember watching this in college with him. I think I only saw this out of,
well, I mean, it was 07, so I think y'all graduated.
Oh yeah,
because y'all were a year ahead of me.
2006. Yeah, that's good point.
Y'all were 06.
Yeah, I remember I watched this on DVD first, so I probably only saw it in like 2008 or so, but I just remember hearing such good things. I'm excited to watch it in context of being a kaiju film and reviewing it. I expect that to get super high ratings from me as well. Is there anything on this upcoming list in the year 2000 to 2009 that you haven't seen, you're excited to watch for the first time?
Let's see. There's a lot on here that I have seen, oddly enough. I'm kind of surprised. I haven't seen, there was this like, I guess it was fan film kind of swell that kind of popped up in the late 2000s. The Raigo, I think, is the name of the movie. I haven't seen that. And I always remember because they had that really great looking poster.
Yeah, it had some good posters trying to sell this movie.
I haven't thought about Dragon Wars until we did our episode on Yongari, and that was the same director. I remember seeing that in theaters. I remember nothing about it.
Oh, boy. That's one I haven't seen that I've purposely kind of held off.
Well, so
because I knew it was coming to the podcast.
I worked in the movie theater for several years, and even after the fact, for many, many years, many people that I worked with still worked there, and I didn't have to pay to get in. And I just remember one time a friend of mine and had gone drinking and decided to go see that movie, and I honestly could not say anything about the movie. I know we had a great time, but that's probably because we would go drinking and then go see perceived bad movies. That's why I don't have a bad opinion about the Dragon Ball movie or Michael Bay's The Island, is because like I was in the right state to see these movies and I had a great time. Which is, again, when I talk about some of these movies that like you have a good time with and I don't, I'm like, if I was with a friend and we were drinking and having fun with this movie, I can see this as entertainment value 100%. I mentioned this, I think, even last week with Yongari, before talking about Alone in the Dark, you know, and having fun with that movie for the same reason. So I'm excited to revisit Dragon Wars. What about you? Is there anything on here that you haven't seen?
So we got 23 movies, I think, coming up in season 6. And I have purposely held off because once we add them to the list, I'm just like, we're going to watch that. I kind of don't want to watch it right now and have to rewatch in a couple of years. And so Dragon Wars was one of them. I've actually never seen Monsters versus Aliens, which is a 2009.
Oh my God, I cannot wait to talk about that with you. I love release. This movie.
So I'm actually kind of excited about that.
I saw that in theaters like 3 times.
Yeah, there's just not many kids kaiju films. There's been a couple in the last few years, which I thought was interesting, but I'm excited to go back and watch that one. Maybe I've seen, you know, clips and things of it, but never the sat down to watch the full movie. And then, yeah, a couple other, you know, independent style Japanese films. Like you said, Reiga, God of the Monsters, the sequel also came out in 2009. So it's going to be in our next season. And
didn't there be like several of those movies?
What?
Doesn't the director of that one do like several of those movies?
There are 3, I believe, in the Reiga series. Believe it or not, I've never seen the first of our, I think I have seen some, but I've not seen the first in the Asylum giant monster series, Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus.
Oh, you haven't?
I don't think I have.
I'm excited.
So yeah, there's some stuff that we're still going to be surprised by in the next season. Like I said, 23 films, and it's going to take us through to episode 157. So I guess kind of a average length season so far. shorter than this one we just completed, and longer than the prior two, the 80s and the 70s. So right, well, that's going to do it for the 1990s wrap up special, Miles. I have almost as fun going back and reviewing our reviews and talking about them than I do a lot of the films. I mean, it's so much fun to do one last rewatch for the 90s and think about these movies before we kick the bucket down the road. If folks want to find us online, the Cosmic Crit Discord, on social media at Kaiju versus History, our website is kaijuversushistory.com. Rate, review, talk about our show, comment, share with friends wherever you get podcasts. Check out our Letterboxd account as well. See all of our reviews on our watch list of upcoming films. All of our reviews are in 5-star format there. Thank you, Miles. Thank you, listeners. We're going to catch you on the next episode when we kick off the 2000s by resetting our computers for Y2K and watching a new Millennium Godzilla film in the new millennia. But we are joined for the first time by a special third guest historian. But all that is for next time. Tune in for History versus Godzilla versus Mega Gyrus.